We're on now.
What is the fucking fibrillation that you were just talking about? I don't know. I have a cocktail. I'm enjoying myself.
So I have this atrial fibrillation shit, and it's not that big a deal. Once a month, my heart, it used to be about once a month, my heart just starts fucking racing. It goes like 90. It goes da-da-da-da-da-da. The first time I knew I had it, I walked in and they put me on this machine with your heart rate. And everybody's hearts goes beep, beep, beep. Mine's like beep, deep, deep, deep.
Did they give you a 24-hour monitor to put on too?
I tried that, and luckily for me, I haven't had been in AFib since July, so it's pretty simple. But it kills me because I can't drink much anymore now. So
are you dying?
If I'm too tired,
are you dying or are you good?
Oh no, this is nothing.
Okay,
this is a nothing. This is a nothing burger. Except if you're in AFib, then you have a higher chance of some stuff happening. But I haven't been since July. It's not that big a deal to me, but because of that, it reinforces one of my favorite habits in my life. I sleep in every single day.
How late?
Lately it's been about 2 p.m.
But your schedule hasn't changed because obviously when you play poker, and we'll get into poker, but I'm saying when you play, that your clocks are always off. Because do you have a cutoff time where you go and you play? Because it's different.
Clocks,
cash games,
clocks,
tournaments, clocks are balancing your
clocks
sleep
are
is the
off,
most
man.
Important thing.
Clocks are, and when you're a poker player, you don't know what day it is half the time.
You're trying to impress me with your 2 p.m. sleep pattern. I'm like, no, your clocks are off because of what you do and what you choose to do.
Listen, my wife and I have been happily married. She's over in the hotel right behind us, the Aria Hotel.
I love the Aria.
Hello.
I fucking love the Aria. I fucking love it.
I just ran into an NBA coach in there.
Who's that?
And should I say? I guess I could say.
I mean, it doesn't. I you know what I always do if I'm not, you know, involved?
I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say that I said, he said hello to me, and I said, hey, I'm looking forward to good things for you. It makes sense. It's Sunday today, and the playoffs, I see his team doesn't play till Wednesday, so he probably gave his guys a
couple
days off.
Now you're hinting at it. You're giving us a little too much information.
Yeah, he's in the playoffs, yeah. And so
any
I said, I'm hoping for great things for you. And
you know what's funny is, like, I told Phil when he walked in here, and Phil and I, this happened very just spontaneous out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know, we ran into each other in the lobby of what, Aria?
Yeah.
I ran up to you. I was like, bro, fuck, man. I'm like, I'm a huge ass fan of you. He's like, you were like, you know, kind of like my name and all that stuff. And
you said, I'm Bob Mannery. And I'm like, yep, I know that name.
You knew the name. And I was like, dude, I've been a huge, huge fan because I was very, very heavily involved back in the day in the online poker days when Poker Stars was first, then Full Tilt. I mean, Ultimate Bet was your thing.
Yeah.
I know that. UB was your thing. And fucking how great you look at the sport of poker, how much bigger it should be than it is right now, is fascinating to me.
Bro, it's taken off, though. I just can't even explain. Like, I try to tell my wife, what is happening? The World Series of Poker, first day this year, and this is not exaggeration, 28 people came up to me I didn't know, and they said, I love you, Phil.
Phil, there's more than... Bro, what are you
no,
doing?
No, but I'm just saying.
Phil, there's a lot more. I think you need
okay,
to,
let me finish, Bob.
Listen,
let me
Phil,
finish.
I have the best poker
Logo,
player in the
finish.
World.
Let
I only
finish.
Bring in the best people in the
I
world.
I have
here.
My headphones on. I'm walking 90 miles an hour. 28 people stop me to say, I love you, Phil. And so let me finish. So then it's mind-blowing to you. This mind-blowing stuff happens. You know what it's like. You, as you become a celebrity, weird things happen. It's a lot of it's mind-blowing.
You're just a robot. People come up to you and say the same thing every time.
Well, it's not. It's just mind-blowing, like, how do they know me? And then some guy was crying two nights ago.
How do they know you? Why do they know Phil Hubbins?
I played
Why
poker.
Does the public
I played
know?
Poker with Ted Cruz on Saturday night. Sat next to each other for 7-8 hours. You know, but I also hang out with. I was with Dean Phillips at a dinner. We spent the night together. So I'm not really. I walk in the middle politically. But after I left that, I was walking back.
You going
and
right?
Somebody's just going crazy.
You going right?
Where?
When it comes to politics, are you going right?
Oh, I've been in the middle. I was started on the left. I've definitely shifted more towards the
you
right.
You started on the left?
Started yeah. on the left. Madison, Wisconsin, man.
Is Biden going to run again?
And then, but I'm kind of in the middle. I've been red-pilled.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's about time. I mean, the guy, if Biden runs again, I don't know politics at all. But if Joe Biden runs again, I mean, who the fuck is going to vote for that guy as far as just not only based on what he's, you know, done, but also how old he is?
You know what they told
me? Picture another fucking 6 years. What is it, 5-6 years of that? The guy will not be alive, right? Not to be disrespectful to the president, because I always respect our president, whether what party you fall under, you always got to respect the commander in chief.
Right.
But at the end of the day,
it's
like,
weird. Like, I will golf with, like, if Trump, if I'm supposed to go golfing with Trump, they invited me to golf with him, I'm going to go. If Obama invites me to golf, I'm going to go.
I've
met almost every U.S. president just randomly. It's weird how it happens. The poker really connects to a lot of cool spots.
Why do you think that is? You think is a lot of guys have a little degen bone in them?
I think that a lot of the most successful people in the world like the challenge of poker.
Why? Because they love action?
They love action. They love to manage situations. You know, they love to manage people, which you see across you at the poker table. Managing their business, so to speak, the cards they have, managing the night they're having, managing, and then, you know, then it gets to very, you know, complex, right? Like everyone knows I have a hand every hand all day long. So now, all right, now you might as well bluff 7 or 8 times, you know.
How many poker players fill real quicker in, you think, in the world today? How many? Hundreds of millions. How millions, right? Millions?
Hundreds. Well, we had 10 million come in like,
where does Phil Hellmuth rank in the top? All the poker players you put across you, not everywhere. Where do you rank?
Well, I mean,
cash game tournament mode.
They're trying to give me. I mean, I think people are finally saying Phil is the greatest of poker player of all time in tournaments, right? So they finally said that for me, right? So, I mean, the world thinks I'm the greatest. The world thinks I'm the greatest anyway. And if you look the last 3 years at the World Series of Poker, I've had there's 2 or 3 guys. I'm amongst them that have had the best record. I made 7 final tables in 2021 at the World Series. No one's ever done that in 7 different games. 7! So I'm so proud of that. I studied all these games, and I have access to the best of the best. So if it comes to, like, we're playing a game called low ball draw, where you're drawing cards, and it's a low. And the best low ball draw player in the world, I know who he is, and I'll answer my questions, and I'll answer his questions about No Limit. But he won't answer anybody else's questions. He doesn't want to educate a lot of people, and he knows I won't be spreading around too much. So having access to the best players in the world and figuring out all these subtle little things. So I think right now, when it comes to being the best, I feel like I'm the best all-around poker tournament player in the world. I'd like to say cash games, but I haven't proven it. I won 30 times in a row playing these mixed cash games.
Problem is, you got to be backed in cash games too, right? Like, with those cash games, you backed? Like, people have to be backed.
You know what? A lot of people do get backed in tournaments and cash games. That's what sometimes pisses me off. These fucking kids, you know, they're being staked and they're trading, you know, 5% with 8 people, and they only have like 20% of themselves in a tournament, and they're like, oh, why isn't Phil playing this? Motherfucker, you put 10,000 up for this tournament. It's 100K buy-in. Why am I playing it? Because I don't want to fly across the fucking sea for it.
Right.
You know, and so I this might sound weird to you. I advise 26 companies, and somebody was like, oh, I don't believe you. Come on, it's easy. I post them all the time. But that means, and he's like, and I explained it to him, that means I'll give each company 10 hours a year, 1 hour a month, but not during the World Series. And what does an advisor mean? It's basically I raise money for them. Right after this, I'm going to go meet, like somebody really wanted to meet me as an advisor. I'm going to go meet with somebody right after our interview. I don't know what it'll lead to, but I just keep So it's all, but it's companies all over the world. And then some of them hit. One of them's worth $10 billion, and I have a point. That's $100 million.
You take on 10 companies, you hit one or two, it's a fucking home run, right?
Right, and this one, again, it's like worth $10 billion. I have a point. That's $100 million. Now, you know, it's fluctuating.
Yeah.
It went all the way down. And so people are like, why aren't you playing a tournament overseas? Let me see. I could stay home, advise a company, mm-hmm. have them give me 2 points as an advisor, and have a chance to make, like, I think I'm going to be a billionaire by the time I'm 76 years old. And I'm not trying to be.
Yeah.
But so what am I going to do? Do I want to go play these Triton tournaments over in Korea, where I fly over there, it takes me 2 or 3 days.
Do they pay you? Does the country, I mean, I don't know, the tourism group over there pay you at all to come there?
Yeah, they'll pay me. I'll get paid almost everything.
They should be comping your buy-ins.
Well, if they came to me and they said, hey, Phil, we'll comp $300,000 worth of buy-ins.
Yeah, then you would fucking, fuck it.
Probably I'd go.
Why the fuck wouldn't you go?
The reason to go is to shut these fucking players up.
So the young kids piss you off, because I guess, because what I look
I at, get along with 99% of the young kids.
Yeah, but you get poker. A little heat at the table.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm the poker brat, man.
I know you are. And is that more of a character, or does that come naturally out of just pure instinct? Or have you been, is that character something that's been, is that really you getting fucking pissed?
Today I talked to the CEO of this company, right?
Yeah.
Karate Combat. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
And he said, Phil, you're so massive. He's the one who told me, he said, you're massive on TikTok. I'm like, I don't have an account. And we're trying to figure out why it is that people seem to love me. Because I can come across as poker brat. You played that hand against me? What the? I come across that way. And the world hated me at first because all they saw was me lecturing other people, you know, and to their knowledge, being
right?
An asshole.
When you lecture somebody, do you believe you're right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But right. It doesn't matter. I shouldn't do it. I mean, that's me being out
that's
of
control.
Natural
reaction.
That's a natural reaction.
That's a natural reaction.
Back
you lost
the question.
Fucking pod. Fuck you. It's like getting hit in the face. You fucking react, which I've never, you know, mad about. The internet stuff I want to talk to. I want to go back to all back in the internet days real quick because you had guys like, remember River Loser? Remember all those guys that used to play Poker Stars?
I do remember a lot of crazy names.
A lot of crazy names, right? And you never knew who the fucking names were behind.
Yep,
they were
always
fucking there and whatnot. Were you somebody when you were playing on UB and Ultimate Bet and all those days? Because, by the way, the greatest tournaments ever, the Sunday Millions on P-Stars, the fucking, like, that was when poker was amazing. And then, obviously, the regulations came in and shut that down. But if we could get back to a point where we could have...
You know why it got shut down?
I think that this is what my guess is, and I think I'm right, is because all the money was probably apparently going to Gibraltar and Costa Rica and wasn't being regulated by the U.S. government, and I'm assuming that they probably stepped in and the big boys came in and fucking shut
it
down.
Nope. It's politics.
That's politics, what I described.
So someone, okay, but this is some guy decided he wanted to run for president, and then somebody else said, oh, hey, I'll support your campaign if you run for president. I'll give you whatever, $100,000, but can you outlaw online poker? It's a fucking true story. It's unbelievable. Nobody knows.
Right.
And so this one guy, he has the Let's Get Rid of Poker bill added on to the Port Security Act, right?
Interesting act to put yourself in.
You got the Port Security Act, which is going through 100 to nothing or whatever it is, right? And they add this little rider to outlaw online poker. And
where does that benefit?
The guy doesn't even end up running for president. I don't even remember his name. But this one guy had one rider added onto one bill, and it destroyed a lot of people's lives. Now, to the people out there, to some of the far whatever you want to say, left or right, oh, poker's the devil, it's gambling, blah, 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 a lot of bullshit like that.
Yeah.
It also destroyed a lot of people that were, you know, making a living playing poker, having fun with the game. It was fun to be able to play.
No, there's nothing.
You can be
at
your house.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. That's
play $100 buy-in tournament.
That's swinging left. That's swinging left. That's like the pussy way to look at it. Like, dude, you fucking want to fucking play. You fucking either, if you fucking buy in too much, you fucking lose too much, that's on you, brother. That ain't fucking, we ain't made
building
no laws around
that
shit.
And by the way, what pissed me off is everybody in the United States could have gone to a casino anyway. So
what's
the difference?
That's my question to you is, when does that rate of play and the volume of play, like it was 10 years ago or whatever, 15, 20 years ago, when does that volume of play come back where we can do it digitally? And where does it happen?
Okay, so PokerStars is scheduled to be in 5 states soon.
I love it.
And so we're at least gaining some traction there.
Are you still affiliated with them?
A lot of people are rowing forward. I'm very close with PokerStars, and if I sign a deal with them, you will see a PokerStars hat.
You're open to work with anybody that could bring in awareness.
Not anybody, but Stars is a very interesting one, and I love their vibe, and they're one of the hottest brands in the poker world right now. So let's just say we're talking to PokerStars.
Who are you most afraid to play heads up, tournament mode?
Nobody.
Really?
Nobody. I don't have any fear. I will say this. There are people, it's a weird thing, and you know this. It's called holding over somebody. So you just notice that one guy just always beats you, right? Day after day, week after week. It's a weird thing. There's no mathematical explanation, right? Mm-hmm. And so it just so happened that the guy who beat me all the time was Phil Ivey, great player.
Very great player.
But when certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, you know. And so, it would come 10, 9, 7 in a televised game, and I'd have pocket 10s. And I'd wait for the safe card on the turn, the deuce. And we get it all in, and somehow he had 6-8. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm in a tournament. We're down to 7-handed. It's a World Poker Tour tournament. I pick up ace, king of hearts. I'm putting in big raises every hand. He moves in. He has aces when I have ace 7-handed. And I'm just like, what in the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
So I finally got him back. It took all the way until this year.
Yeah.
We were at a final table together, and I had aces. We're at a World Series of Poker final table, and he moved in
you
with
and
King.
Ivy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He moved in with King 10 of hearts, and I finally got him, and I said, all right, the curse is broken, you know, here. But there are other people that I just love playing against, right?
What makes DeGrand you so good?
DeGrand's just a fantastic player. Yeah. He last night in a tournament here in Vegas, I finished. It's interesting. Yesterday, we'll change that. Yesterday, I was at a final table.
I saw you that. Yeah, you told me that.
Finished fifth, and then Negreanu finished second, And then last night he finished ninth. I finished like 10th in a tournament. So we both go deep a lot together. Negreanu's certainly one of the greatest players in the world. And he's gotten good at a lot of games too.
Do you believe?
Very talented guy.
Do you believe that tournament mode setup, whether it be the main event or whatever it is, right? If you're playing in it, there are obviously guys that maybe like to play the image of being the fucking man. They want to show up late. They want to come. They want to be the man. They want to show up late, right? And I don't know if that's you or not. I have no fucking idea.
That's me, man.
If that's you, then that's great. But do you believe, though, there is benefits to sitting earlier with fish that are sitting down with you?
Absolutely.
That you can pick off whatever earlier. Listen, because the fish are obviously earlier in the game.
I got famous in the poker world for showing up late. Showing up late, all the time late. And people thought it was like...
How late? After how many blind levels?
I would show up 4 or 5 blind levels
in. Oh, shit.
I'd lose 30% of my chips.
Oh, wow.
In the old days. These days, when you show up late, you start with the full stack.
But that's not strategically smart. Come on. You know that you have the... You know that if you show up on time...
Okay, hold on.
You will have more of a...
You said it's not strategically smart, but you will agree with me in 25 seconds.
Go ahead.
My biggest weakness is I get super fatigued.
Okay.
And if I don't get enough sleep, I play poorly. Mm-hmm. And so I never came in to try to show up and be weird. I knew that it was my advantage to show up at noon. But I was always so tired. The extra two hours of rest. Mm-hmm. And so that, based on that, I have a choice. Show up tired on time. And if you're tired on time, you're playing very deep and you don't get a lot of chips anyway, but you can blow the tournament. So if I show up on time tired, I could blow the tournament. If things go well, I can't win that many chips.
Are physical tells real, or is it more betting patterns?
Physical tells are 100% real, but this is bizarre to me. It's like there's a whole generation that doesn't understand that physical tells exist. What is happening?
I know that because I think this is it. This is the thing. You guys probably pay closer attention to it. I think the average player that plays does not sit there and actually focus on body movements because they don't treat it as a sport. They don't treat it as a profession. So like the 1%, it's like anything else, like the 1% observes the tells and are good at it. And that's why you're here and telling me about that.
That's right. And 1% might be right. I've been trying to figure out what percentage of the people are great at reading people in the world. It might be 1%.
Or they take it seriously enough to care about it.
Yeah,
because
even,
you can care about and try and read somebody, but how much are you going to pay attention?
Come on, but how many people have the ability to read people? What percentage of the population is great at reading people?
I don't know.
Very small percentage.
Yes, I'm one of them, but I know that I wouldn't take the time because I don't care enough to, you know, observe somebody's every movement, and that's why what I only strictly would go on is based on...
It's not every movement. Like 3 nights ago, I'm playing in a tournament, and I'd been playing really, really tight, which is a great way to win. And all of a sudden, I'm like, it's time to play poker.
Meaning aggressive mode.
Yeah. And the guy raises. I'm like, he has nothing. I just re-raised.
What's the re-raise?
25 minutes later.
You can talk real quick with these things. What's the blind level at?
Call it 3 and 6,000.
3 and 6,000. What's your stack?
I have 100,000.
And where are you at position-wise?
Usually, to use your reading abilities, you want to be in the small blind, the big blind, or the button. Because you don't want to make a great...
Button's always the best. You want to act last.
No, because not in this case. Because if I make a move on the button and somebody, one of these two hands, actually picks something up, mm-hmm. then I could get unlucky. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I might have a perfect read on that guy, and then somebody behind me wakes up with a hand they can't fold. Right. And now, so yeah, okay. So I had 8 deuce, you know, and somebody raised it. Nick Shulman, I was teasing him about
this. So it
goes
fold. Let's go through the whole hand. How many people were seated at the table?
Seven-handed.
Okay. Opening.
Somebody opened. I'm like, he has nothing.
What did he open with?
He opened for 12,000.
12,000. Fold.
Someone else called.
Right away?
Well, after a second, I'm like, all right, he has nothing also.
So he went, open the 12, call.
Call.
Fold.
On me, yeah. Now I'm in the whatever. And now it's my decision. And I'm like, he has nothing. I'm just going to make it 60,000, and they're both going to fold. 60,000.
Okay.
Say I was a small blind, that hand. So they all folded, right?
Right.
So I won the 6,000 in the big blind plus the 6,000 he had to ante. That's 12.
Yeah,
hold on. Another 12 that he made it, and another 12. So I picked up 36,000 in chips risk-free.
Well, but because guess what happens? I mean, I assume when good tournament players play, they take advantage when people are in the bubble, right? Because people
That's exactly right. But this isn't even on the bubble. This is just like, all right. And so sometimes, so I think I'm the best in the world at reading people. Negreanu.
Well, what if they fucking called? They'll be talking about this hero hand. What if they had called? What's your move? So ready? Right now, I fucking call you. Hold on. All right, 8-2. You're saying you cleaned out the pot.
Yeah.
That's not an interesting story. So wait a minute. Now, hold on. You raise a 60. I fucking cold call you. I'm first to act. He folds. It's me and you mano a mano. The flop is ace, king, 10. I check to you. What are you doing?
I'm betting.
Now 140,000 the pot.
I'm betting.
How deep is your stack?
By then, I only, let's see, what did I say I started with? 125. I made it 62 before the flop.
Oh, so you're either.
I only have 63 left.
Oh, okay. So you don't.
But I'm going to take one. I'm not giving up yet because you could have nines or eights and fold or sevens.
No, well, you have to fire at that point. You're not going to check. Now you're dead. I didn't know how deep your stack
now
was.
Now I fire.
Yeah, I didn't know how deep your stack was. Okay.
Yeah, if you're wrong. So what? That story might not be interesting, but I did it six times over the next 4 hours with 10, with unplayable hands.
Do you feel like
more? And I won all six. But think about this. Each time I do that, I'm building bricks, building bricks, building bricks to a house. And if you do it six times, you've won enough chips where, you know, you can get unlucky in a hand and still survive. And so how do the best poker players in the world, hold on, how do the best poker players in the world win?
You have to know. I want to know if C2 folded, are you making the same move? So if it went opening to the same thing.
Yeah, because I don't know. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
But that's just the read, right? And then yesterday I went in and I folded 15 hands in a row last night. And then someone raised and it's like, oh my God, he is nothing. I mean, I was in the small blind. He raised, the next guy called on my right, who's an amateur who announced he's a big fan of mine, a big fan of my friend's All In podcast, and went to the summit, All In's podcast summit. And so, and I'm like,
what's
all right.
That's it. What's that?
Anyway, it's the All In podcast has a summit.
Okay.
Fully Tilted should do a summit. Just I'll have all your fans come.
Oh, we just rolled, bro. We just, like, if I'm on a bender, if I'm just, like, chilling, like, I just kind of shoot this pod, like, just spur of the moment. So, like, there's four girls in here. You know, obviously, I know Caroline. I know my friend. I flew in from Scottsdale. There's a couple other people.
Like, I allowed to say can I say whether the women were beautiful or not? Or do you get erased for shit like that?
We are pretty.
You might get erased for shit like that.
You know what's amazing? You know what's
Let's
amazing?
Just say this. No, Let's say just this. Say this.
Okay. B, get in here for a minute. I'll tell you this, though. I will say this. The with me, I'm very, very, very respectful to women. You got to be. That's it.
Of course. My wife's That's a doctor. I was kind of joking
what?
About that. Yeah, my wife's a doctor.
Wow, you hit a fucking jackpot.
I did. I married her. She was in medical school. And she's like, you know, you're amazing. We had a couple of kids. Our children are now 33 and 30.
Wow.
And
you look good, by the way.
But I'm going to do my own career. And I'm like, got you. So now the good thing about that is if I travel for a week or two,
I could pop in. Yeah,
I could travel for 2 weeks.
This is Brandon, by the way. So I want to introduce you, Phil. I wanted to obviously, you know, what I like to do is sometimes like test people, you know, like I'm obviously not as good as you at what you do, but you know, obviously this is one of my financial backers that back us pretty heavily on any venture that we get into.
Oh, I like that.
This is Brandon. This is Big B. Very tight with Dana White, UFC. Met him down at UFC with a bunch of the boys. And you see this thing on his wrist right now? It's called a Richard Milley.
I've heard of it.
Have you?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to ask Brandon if he is willing to put up the Richard Milley for me to play Phil Hellmuth in a best of seven series. 10-20 blinds, $1,000 stack, best of seven, and Phil has to put up $200,000 to that $300,000 for the watch.
You're talking now.
Would you play me?
I mean, I would.
And live stream it?
You probably, yeah. You do know. I just want to tell you
another bad decision for Metairie Camp. Another bad decision for Metairie Camp.
Yeah, I would play.
God damn. But no. So we are you a UFC fan at all?
A little bit. I've met some of the legends. Like Chuck is on my speed dial.
Yeah.
I reach out to him once a year. I don't want to bother him. If something, you know how it is. If something comes up that's fun, I'll be like, yo.
How great were those fights last night?
Oh, absolutely.
Bro, Gaethje was fucking, that was, think about that. You watch that clip. UFC 300, by the way, with Dana. Great, great card. Everything was fucking perfect, but like.
He claims it was the best card he's ever had.
Yeah. He's lucky. He got bailed out. He got bailed out by that knockout. I mean, it was a great card.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll give Dana White this. I'll say this. Dana and I are very close. Very close to Dana. Fucking whatever. He's the greatest guy in the fucking world, right? But at the end of the day, what I'm saying is that like, I will give him credit. There is no better fucking sport to go to live than UFC. Do you agree or disagree?
100%.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been to all of them, you know, as many as I can, and absolutely. And last night was just epic.
I mean, and how would you rate the women that I brought into this house and around my family?
That was pretty epic, too.
This is a very, like,
I will agree. I will agree. I'm just going to say epic. And
well, yeah. You know what? This is the thing, Phil, is this. Like, I'll be honest, Jack, because I talk about relationships sometimes. Like, I just got out of a relationship. And so Caroline had been great friends for a while. Logan, I've known for a couple, few days. We've been hooking up a little bit and all that. I don't want to tell you guys this on a poker podcast, but I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes I just, like, when I'm in single mode, I like to go.
How long were you in a relationship?
2.5 years.
Oh wow! So then this
yeah, and
be
it kind of got a little dirty, got a little mean, kind of.
I mean, I think 2.5 years is just,
like, what was your?
You
like,
have to be devastated after that.
That was
right?
My worst bad beat of all time in life.
Really?
So my worst bad beat was that moment when, because there was other stuff involved, and I can't talk about it anymore because I fucking want to. It's that ship has sailed.
Yeah,
that ship has sailed. But at the end of the day, bad beat wise, you know, I'm sure you know. What was your worst bad beat ever? Ever. The one that really fucking sunk your soul and killed you and still kills you this fucking day and haunts you.
Man. I mean, I've had some big financial shit that happened.
We all have.
There's a couple of hands that...
Shut up, Ram.
I think a hand... There is a hand I still think about because you're talking about a bad beat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that to bad beat at the poker table.
Perfect. Oh, that's what I mean, yeah.
And the World Championships. Carlos Mortensen won it in 2001. And I had 2 9s, and the amateur who I'd stayed away from, Phil Gordon.
Why'd you stay
I
away?
I stayed away from him because, like, he just kept moving in. He just decided I'm just going to raise every time Phil raises.
And you're waiting like a little shark.
So I just thought, okay, so I'm going to play less hands. So I finally had the 2 9s. And I'm famous for 2 black 9s. This was 2 red 9s. And I raced, and he moved in, and I just said, all right, here we go. I called it, and he had 2 6s. Okay. And he hit a 6, and I ended up finishing 5th. But if he doesn't hit the 6, I take the chip lead.
And you win.
And I think I win.
You win.
Another main event.
Yeah. Oh, that's a fucking brutal.
Yeah, that one hurt. Yeah, I do think about that.
Yeah, but you can't let that, ruffle your feathers. You know what I mean? Are you playing poker every night?
No, not even close.
No? What's your schedule like? So let's say next an active season of poker. What does it look like?
Well,
week by week, day by day, whatever it is.
I mean, let's just say, all right. So let's just start with the day. I wake up. Hopefully, I sleep as long as I can. I wake up and I'm like, all right, what happened to the stock market? Because I have a lot of stocks.
Really?
And I can't help myself but look, and I'm like, okay.
I do too.
What do you got?
You know,
like this.
That's what I do every morning too.
Yeah,
every morning I get up and do that.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
You do that too?
Every morning.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't, so I can't talk on this. Talk about that. I want to know. What does that look like?
That's the first thing I do. I get up and I turn the TV on and I see what the stock market's doing.
Well, what stocks?
I'm a lot of mutual funds and stocks and also just, I'm sure, just like he is too, you know.
It's like you take these financial swings, you get used to watching what's happening in the world, right?
Yeah.
And then for me, I try to get a coffee and go real slow.
Yeah.
So I press a button.
Coffee.
I press a button. So I mean, my wife used to make fun of me. It's $17. I was a member of DoorDash since 2014. Now I play high stakes poker with Stanley Tang, who founded DoorDash.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked back, and he came to my house a couple of times way back when.
You're kicking yourself, being like, "Why the fuck didn't I get a piece of that thing?"
Yeah, because
why wasn't I in the right conversation at the right time to fucking get involved in that?
Yeah. And so exactly. And then so I'll order my coffee, that'll arrive, and I'll slowly try to drink it and relax. And usually
I have
a business meeting
back in the day. I could have gotten.
I'll have a 2 o'clock meeting, maybe a 3 o'clock meeting, maybe a 4 o'clock meeting. And things have just been exciting, going crazy, fun, all these things. In the last 10 days, I decided to invest $750,000 in 3 new companies. And so it's just been crazy. And it's just, I feel like things are going wild. So I run 80 miles an hour. I like that.
Yeah.
I've been running 90. I don't like 90. So I like 80.
Yeah.
And then after that, I try to relax with my wife. I do play a version of poker. I'll play Chinese poker on this app. I'm going to only show this app because this is pretty...
You do whatever you want, brother. There's no fucking rules
here. So there's
this
pineapple app here that I play on.
Okay. You play against other players in there? I don't want to get it.
Yeah, and so Mike the Mouth Mattisau, I play like 7 billionaires.
Like
the
federal agents come running in. Yeah. They're like, hey...
The first 100 people on this app were all NBA players and celebrities.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this app. 2015 finals.
Yeah.
Okay. 22 minutes before the game starts, okay, I'm in Vegas playing the World Series of Poker, and all of a sudden I get clicked at by David Lee.
To play
and
again.
Andrew Bogut. And I'm like, what the fuck? You guys have a finals game. Your game starts in 23 minutes. Klay Thompson clicks at me.
Yeah.
And like all these Warriors players, I think four Warriors players clicked at me. And I'm clicking back and I'm thinking, what the? And I'm looking up the NBA finals. They're not on the court. Is somebody else playing their account? No. They're in the locker room. And they're like, hey, this is just a really good way for us to relax right before the game to take our mind off of it. Now, hold on. Yeah. Then another funny one.
Go ahead.
You remember Michael Phelps?
Of course.
Yeah.
Where Chad LaCaw was like shadow boxing right next to us. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so Chad LaCaw, like I've got his name wrong. This guy's shadow boxing and Mike's on his phone. He's playing Chinese poker on this app.
I was playing poker at the national championship last week. That's why I'm saying I'm thinking it's a big fucking thing.
Yeah.
When are they gonna fucking find a way? Because I have two things. I want to talk about like what different companies, what makes you want to invest in things. I want to talk about that with you and you. But at the same time, I want to know this too. How the fuck can you fucking find a way to get back to the days of the Sunday Millions when there was 10,000 fucking people registered for a 265 fucking buy-in? And when are we going there?
Man, I thought...
Because it's been long overdue.
I thought poker was going to do exactly that by 2015. I would have bet a lot of money. And I thought, oh, it's coming by 2017. And then I figured something out. There was one guy standing in the way, one person standing in the way of poker coming back. And it was just unbelievable that one person had that much power. But he's the biggest donor on the planet Earth.
Left side, right side?
Right side. Owns a...
We're good. We don't get murdered in our sleep.
Well, no, because because he died. He died recently.
Oh, you're good. Run it.
Died a couple years ago. Yeah. Well, I won't mention names. One guy who was donating $100 million a year. And basically he said, I will not support anybody that backs online poker because he thought it would be bad for his casino business. This is a true story. But now he's out of the picture.
Well, it's true.
And so I poker slowly coming back.
True.
But the reason why realize it's a game of skill. He was afraid of why it would affect his casino business because he's got a license there and realizes that the poker world is a little bit shady and was shady at the time. And all this money was being sent to Gibraltar, Costa Rica, and all this shit. And the U.S. government finally fucking said, like, bro, we ain't getting a fucking piece of this thing. There's too much money.
No, I told you what happened earlier with that.
You know?
All of a sudden, somebody slipped a bill as a rider under the Port Security Act, and poker is just gone the next day.
I know.
Crazy.
This is a way to bring it back because it is good.
LuckyTilt.com is now available in select countries. We are matching up to $500 deposits. All right, so download the mobile app on Google Play and App Store. Head to mtfantasy.com. That's what
because it is good. I love having very successful people in the room. I mean, Homeboy is fucking extremely successful. You're very successful. What interests you in because you play in the sandbox a little bit too. What makes you like want to invest in a company?
Well, I mean, it's just different. I mean, I come back from a marine business, offshore work boats, diving business, and things like that. And we're actually, you know, everybody thinks I made the money in that. I really didn't. So the BP oil spill hit.
Yeah.
I made millions off that. And then...
Wait, how?
I had a bunch of property in Mississippi, and we just provided a lot of boats and things like that. I mean, I had like 37 boats working for me.
So you made a lot of money cleaning up the oil spill. That's
yes.
cool.
Yeah. There was no...
Well, that's cool. Oh, I mean, you're doing something good for society and printing.
He's a class actor.
Check.
Yeah,
continue.
And I did it for like a year and a half where they loved me, and I took advantage of it, and we made a lot of money on that. But what's funny is...
Yeah, but what's the next step?
The next step. So where I made my big money.
He's fucked you, Rich. He's good. I already had money.
He's
living in a fucking cabana somewhere in fucking
A buddy of mine from Nashville, Rich Roberts, he called me up one day and said, look, I got a little business in Nashville. I got a buddy of mine that's doing diabetes testing. He's got a huge company that he's so busy with that. He's got a CPAP company on the side.
Oh,
CPAP
boy.
The mask and all that stuff.
I've used CPAP every night for 17 years.
No way.
Yeah, really.
Have not missed a night. I can't miss a night. If I miss a night, I can't sleep.
No, you can't.
Really?
Yeah.
It's brutal. Oh, so, CPAP. You know, there's surgeries for it, but...
The oxygen machine. I got one. I couldn't get comfortable enough to
put
it on my face.
No. All right, you got it because you got tested and you wake up 40 times a minute. They told me.
No.
40 times an hour.
Nope. I'm going to cut you off there. Wrong. Okay. I got it because I was just like, yo... My buddy's like, bro, when you wake up on this thing, it feels good. And I was like, give me a CPAP. So I got one for my buddy, and he brought it to me.
It was life-changing.
But I also was also explained about the benefits of it and whatnot. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I just put it on my face because I...
Well, let me come back to you on that. It takes 30 days. It was so painful the first 30 days.
You got to get to
the 30th or 40th day.
Yeah. You got to be sleeping like Bane for like fucking...
Oh, yeah. It's really brutal.
It's so hard. I mean...
So your wife's going to look at you and she's going to fuck Bane? Like, she's not going to want to fuck Bane. You know what
whatever. Yeah. I don't care about the looks. Yeah. Nobody sees me with the machine. Who cares? My wife,
no, you're exactly
35
you're
years.
Exactly
she's
right.
not going anywhere, I don't think.
Yeah.
And she's demanded me to grow up 5 times. She spent a lot of time in therapy.
I
fought for her.
I actually want to cut to that. That's a great topic because obviously, like, you know, I'm big about relationships. I've been over here outspoken about relationships. I'm a big, like...
Wait, hold on one sec. You started, so you got involved with the CPAP business.
Yeah, so me and my buddy Rich Roberts from Nashville.
I was trying to talk about missionary sex. Yeah. So, like, back to business.
We did that. So, long story short, a buddy of ours was doing a bunch of diabetes tests, and he was rocking with that. He said he's got a little CPAP company on the side. Yeah. He's got 7,000 patients. Long story short, we bought it for $7 million.
Nice.
Kept it for 6 years and sold it for $123 million.
Of course, because...
So, we had 155,000 patients. After we sold the company.
Smart. Now, that's a good story. Now, Bob, what the fuck do you want to say?
I was just curious about obviously keeping the activity alive in the bedroom after being married for so long.
That's just one thing that I do.
No, because
I've gotten a lot of other stuff.
You've got a lot of stuff
since
going
then.
On.
Yeah, so.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, because me, like, at the end of the day, what I like to do is I had this really smoke show ass girlfriend, like, smoke show before.
And I know.
My Rolodex is a winner. I have game.
I know her.
I don't want to talk to you a lot, but I have game. You know that.
I can't say her
crazy
name,
ass game.
Like, I talked to her a little while ago. She still likes me though.
I know that. Well, listen, I'll talk to you later. Anyways, what I'm saying is, you've been married for you're a married man.
And absolutely.
I love about you, very faithful man, which I respect, which is very important. Very faithful man.
I'm very famous for being faithful. In fact, people make fun of me because I always say I've never cheated on my wife. I've
it's
never cheated on my wife.
33
years, I tell people, and so then now
they
make fun
of me. Married for 25.
Now they make fun of me, and I'm like.
Make
fuck you. You
want to
make fun of that?
No.
You want to
best thing ever.
You are a
find something else to make fun of. But I don't judge anybody else.
I do.
Don't judge the poker world. I don't.
I do. If you cheat on here's the deal. If you're cheating on somebody or whatever, I judge you in a hole. I think if you're going to move on your closest partner, I think you're going to move on me in other areas. So I'm out.
That's right.
And not a lot of people are really trying to do business with me right now.
So I would just say that it's I would say that it's kind of I've never done it, and I'm proud of that.
That's fucking awesome.
But I don't hold anybody else. I just don't. Now let me tell you. Okay, let's talk some real shit here.
You ready? Here we are.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
So, some people I don't judge for that because I know the state of their relationships and tatters, and maybe, and so.
Thank you.
I don't judge them for what's happening. I'd rather see them do what I do and go into therapy and fight. You know, my wife and I...
$20,000 in Beverly Hills fucking therapy I spent. $40,000.
And you got better.
Oh, no. It got worse. She was blowing more dudes. I don't know what I did. It backfired on me.
I got better. I got better because I understood my wife. It's a one safe space. I mean, people watching this at home, they say they go to their husband, wife, whoever, and they say, you do this. And the answer is always to snap back. Oh, no, you're worse at that than I am. No. When you're in therapy... And you say, hey, this has been a real, you do this, that person's forced to think. You can't snap back. They have to sit there and think about it. And then they say, what do you mean? And I'll say, well, 3 weeks ago you did this, a month ago you did that. And they're like, yeah, you're right. You got me. Okay.
Yeah.
Then they start trying to figure out why they did that. And so then it leads to And then there's the fucking weird one, man. The men are from Mars, men are from me. This is my second point, Bob. Stay with me.
No, I'm here.
I have ADD.
I'm going.
Second point is this. This very thing I do to please my wife that I think is going to please her the most is the thing that pisses her off the most. So you unpack that in therapy. And I say, I did that for you. And she's like, what in the fuck made you think that I wanted that from you? And I'm like, oh.
So you're pro therapy.
Yeah, because then
I
won't
do
that again.
And you know what it is?
And then you start to avoid traps and patterns emerge and you start to avoid them.
Yeah.
You know, and my wife's really, really sharp. And so we avoid those traps. And now we've been married 33 years. We've been together like 34 years.
You guys ever do any like role play shit? Like, you know, when like she's the doctor, she comes in, she's like, well, Mr. Helm, you've been Like the shit. You guys ever turn that on?
Yeah, why not?
You got to do that. Like, that's the shit that makes
you. Got to have some fun. We've been married 33 years.
You
got to have
some
fun.
You do all
no,
this.
No, I get fucking freaky.
No, you do. I know you get fucking wild. He's fucking I'm a fucking freak. Chandeliers and fucking
I'm fucking dude. Yeah. Oh, at 52 years old, I'm fucking still got it.
Hey,
brother.
Caroline.
Yeah.
Logan. Mm. I need your opinion on something. You pop in for 1 minute? If you don't mind. I need your opinion on cheating. Get in here for 1 minute.
No,
both. No, I want to know. Come here. Sit with me for 1 minute. Both of you. Both of you one-on-one. Caroline, are you allowed to?
Yes.
Okay, so listen, Caroline, honestly. What is your opinion on, is it more attractive? Society today, because I got to say this. Society today, I feel it's like a muscle you build. If you can have the ability to be able to say no to temptation, I think that should be an attractive quality. Because temptation is all around us. Phil Hellmuth can go out and get fucking blown by whoever he wants. Because he's Phil Hellmuth. So can you. So can I. But I feel
whoa, not you.
Honey, I don't know if you've seen mine. We're all good. But anyway, I'm saying, good like, are women worse than men, Caroline?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. You know what? It kind of depends. I think cheating goes both ways, right?
I
know a lot of girls who have cheated. I know a lot of guys who have cheated. But I do find it really attractive when you can like turn down temptation. Even if I get turned down by someone, I'm like, damn, that was kind of hot. I want you even
I've never had sex with Caroline, by the way. I just want to say that. We never hooked up.
Yeah, can we clear that up?
Yeah, me and Caroline never hooked up. I will say that.
Say it again. Say it.
Caroline and I have never hooked up because I've been very respectful. I would hire Caroline, by the way, to be the head of fucking any business that I would be a part of because Caroline is a power female.
She's awesome.
And she's amazing. Thank and that's why everybody like thinks like, my biggest thing is this, why I don't do business with people, whatever, like whatever, if they're disrespectful to women. Caroline, you got to admit, right? I'm pretty respectful, right?
Yeah.
And I've never made a move. It's been fucking 7 years. How many years?
You've made one.
By the way, that wasn't a move. I wasn't trying.
But you're respectful, and you always have been, and you're loyal, and you're good to your people. And yeah, I think sometimes you have a bad.
That's all we need from you, Caroline. Please move along.
I'm done.
I love you.
Love
how beautiful
you too.
Is. Wow, man.
That's great. I love it.
I think I want to say Loki. Okay. All right. You should have hit it.
Anyway, back to poker. We're talking very serious. I actually played in...
Well, I will tell you, it's an interesting subject. Once you become famous, you know, and you're a guy, you know, and you're... it's and then...
It's awesome.
If I go to... It's crazy.
It's awesome, bro.
It's really crazy. And I tell my wife, honey, you know, I could have...
honey, I can't turn
this
bitches down.
This is a famous... This is a famous supermodel, right? And probably was only a little bit interested in me, but then we start talking and she's, charisma, personality. We know he's rich and famous. And all of a sudden, you know, you're staring at each other in the eyes. And then I leave because I just know I have to. So I got to go to the bathroom, limo, boom, back to the room. And I call my wife the next day and I'm, honey, I could have. And she used to get mad at me for that. And I'm like, honey.
Now it's 33 years. She's like, yeah, okay, buddy. Okay.
No, she used to get mad at me because I wanted her to be proud of the fact I didn't pull the trigger. I wanted to say, what I'm really trying to scream at her is I am attractive. Women want me. And of course, I want that message delivered to her.
Right.
So, she can laugh at my ass and
but
say,
that means
all
you're
right,
really,
buddy.
Really in love, which is amazing. If you're really in love, which you
I'm
are.
I'm really in
you,
love. And
which
so,
is amazing.
And
that's
so,
a good thing. You don't have to be a pussy. Like,
so we have a deal. We have a deal. If close situation, like if close things comes up or I see I'm in spots where that happens, I'll call her and I'll say, I'm not trying. But she'll ask me, she says, are you trying to say this because you're mad at me and you're punishing me? Because that's a legitimate question.
I've had
right?
sex with 20 girls in the last 30 days.
Congratulations. I've had sex with one woman in 35 years.
Meets of love. But I was also loyal for 2.5 years. And
you
I
was.
20 different
yeah,
girls
was,
in 30
yeah.
days. Is that crazy?
No.
Is that too much?
No, it's not.
Because
definitely not.
You know what? Actually, I want to talk to you guys. You guys are two married men, and I consider this show like a therapy thing. Do you think it's okay for me to... I talked to Dr. Phil last week about this. And I got ambushed for that episode, by the way. When we talked to Dr. Phil, they told me I was immature. They told me all these things. I'm like, I'm just real. I am who I am. Let me get my point. Two married men, very loyal, faithful men, amazing guys that were business and whatnot. After you go out of a heartbreak like I did, and a heartbreak meaning like we were loyal, we were good people, kid thing involved, like dark, dark shit, is it okay to go on a Scottsdale spree, a Las Vegas spree, an LA spree, and just fuck anything that moves until it gets out of your system? Yes or no?
That's absolutely what I would do.
And
it's like I would sign up for Beverly Hills medical fucking therapy.
I mean,
as long as I'm single. As long as it's a done deal.
I'm putting you in my shoes, dude.
Yeah, yeah, it's a done deal.
No, I'm putting you in my shoes. Pretend.
I don't blame you. That's heartbreak, exactly what I would
fucking
do.
Cheated, fucking cheated. Fucking awful.
And my wife knows that right now.
So I'm good. I'm good.
Kim knows that right now.
I told my wife. If something happens, I said, honey.
I'm done. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So I told my wife, I said, honey, you know, there's a lot of women out there. I've been interested for a long time. If we ever divorced, I would probably head to them. And then she laughs at me. And she said, oh, no, you're too weird. You're like a weird stick-it guy. You'd probably find one really good one.
Don't let her get you like that.
You'd probably find one really good one. And I'm like, whatever, honey.
That's the game they try and play. Don't let them fucking get that. Yeah. That's my girl said to me, and I went on a fucking tear of supermodels and fucking whatever I wanted to do. That was it. Because I did play the clout card. I do play the clout card now. Like, I just get right to the point. You know, when I go up to somebody, I'm always just like, I'm not going to waste time. I'm not going to try and pretend I'm not somebody else. I'm like, here, this is what I do. Here you are. And then obviously it's like, boom, their eyes light up, and it's like, all right, I'll fuck you.
Yeah. Ooh, from what I've seen, though, you did pretty good.
Brother, I've been on a streak of all streaks. Like, literally. But I do want to come out of it. Because, like, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to flush it. And at the end of the day, you go back to what your mother raised you as, your family raised you as, is being a stand-up individual. And but none of these.
Listen, you know, that's interesting. Dan Bilzerian, you know, Blitz, right?
Yeah.
Did very well.
He's been on the show, maybe?
Dan has been on the show.
So Bilzerian, famous for being with, you know, all kinds of beautiful, amazing women.
Yeah,
I've been around Dan. But he just came out like, just came out 3 weeks ago.
He came out of the closet, Dan Bilzerian.
No.
Oh.
He came out and he said,
"That's definitely the clipmate right there."
Yeah.
He came out and he said, "I'm really happy being with just one woman."
Yeah.
And hold on, and maybe I made. And he said, "And maybe I made a mistake in the past." And he said, I think the one woman thing is the way to go, which is very interesting because he is probably the most famous playboy in the world.
Why, though? And I'll tell you why, Phil, why it makes sense and why I have always chosen one that might not have been a bad whatever. Same thing as whatever it is. Dan, by the way, is the greatest. Dan is the most amazing fucking dude in the world. Dan, like, literally counseled me through shit when I was like, he's like, what are you fucking worried about this dumbass bitch for? Like, texting me and all this stuff. And he was like, hit me there for me.
And he had this watch right here.
Yeah.
Stolen at the UFC fight one night.
I had nothing to do with that.
Same watch.
I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Just let you down.
I told the guy to give it back.
That's good. And maybe this is this one.
Rob Danny. Now, Dan's one of the best guys in the fucking world.
No, me and him talked about that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan's a great guy.
But
you tell us. You tell us what you're going
to
say.
I had an important point, but like I think that
I will get you back to it. You said the reason why being with one, and then you got stuck.
The reason, perfect. Thank you, Phil, for paying attention and listening, and I love that because that means a lot to me. The reason why is because at our level, right, we're obviously, regardless of money, regardless of poker fame, regardless of dumb internet fame, whatever it is, we're more open to being a target to, you know. Let me ask you.
Thereafter, you know,
risk reduction. Hey, one girl.
Hold on.
I'm with 30 days. If I'm with 25 girls,
give me one line. Dikes. Give me one line, and I'll go right back to you.
Go ahead.
They're after the persona, not you.
They're after my dick. I got a big ass dick.
That may or may not be true, but they're after the fortune, the fame, the persona.
No, they are after that too, obviously. But like, you know, obviously I have a huge.
I don't know if that's obvious. Is there proof?
No, it's not. I mean, that's what.
I don't want to see the proof.
No, you can
say is there proof?
It's your podcast. You can fucking say whatever the fuck you want.
There are people. There are people. There are people with dick pics. There are people with dick pics on the internet.
No. I honestly, though, I just like, I will obviously, because I'm very proud of it. And not to be weird, I'm talking with two dudes, but I've been.
Yeah, this is kind of weird now.
Huh?
Kind of weird.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think this is weird.
No. I think you're talking about like
this
dicks.
Man, he claims he has this thing. No, I think that I always calling, ask her, Caroline, you and I are calling bullshit.
Hey, you know
Caroline
what?
Caroline and Logan, can you get in here for a minute? Honest question.
Hey, maybe I'm just jealous.
Caroline, Logan, I need both your opinions right now. Please.
Yeah.
I want both of yours individually. God. Okay? I want to know this. Do you know?
I'm going to do my makeup, by the way. I don't look like this normally.
You look beautiful. Thank you. I want to know this, both of you. Do you know when a guy walks in the room with you and shoots a little game at you? I'm going to say this the most polite, respectful way possible. You know I am. Can you gauge his penis size?
No. Never in my life.
Yeah.
I have never. Have I looked at someone and been like,
Okay.
Yeah. No, I do. For
you,
sure.
You know. You can read it.
Yeah.
And what gives away the signs of, like, when they, you can tell they either have small dick energy or big dick energy and not being disrespectful or anything?
I mean, damn, what they're wearing, their feet, their personality. You have big dick energy.
No, his head. It's the way his head. Did you see it grow? I did. That was crazy.
We are. Yeah, no, I'm just saying we're good.
Yeah, no, girls talk about it all the time, though. I mean, it is what it is.
So words got around the street.
Girls talk just as much as guys do. Yeah.
So girls talk about what exactly? I want to hear more.
Like if you see someone attractive and they're like, oh, I hate talking about this.
I like that. No. You said big dick energy. I like
No, it's just like confidence.
Yeah. Because I assume if you're a female, right, you obviously want a little big dick energy, right?
A little riz, you know, a little flirtiness.
You have to have a mouthpiece on you. That's huge.
What's a mouthpiece mean?
Like you can talk.
Oh, that's easy.
A mouthpiece. Like,
that's where we win all our battles.
I like talking.
Yeah. You guys, I like to talk. We actually have a fucking podcast show going on.
Right now, these three guys can talk.
Yeah. I love it. Well,
we know.
So who's the new guy that you're seeing now?
Shut up.
I've heard a lot about him. You beautiful little tube. Best, you know?
That was great.
No, I'm going to get married soon. I'm going to get married soon. I'll have a kid. Probably 5 years now.
How old are you?
That'd be good.
I'm 35.
Yep.
So, you know.
I would have probably waited. I mean.
I didn't wait.
I knocked my wife up. You know?
I wanted that. You want me to be honest with you?
I knocked my wife up when I was 24. She was 24. And then, but I knew she was the one. But I'm not confident she would have been with me.
Right.
I'm not confident. I mean, listen. I mean, now I'm very proud of. Now I'm very proud of how of my understanding of the world, my place in it, and I can understand people at a very high level, a very high EQ. Yeah. But back then, I was 24. I just won the main event. I had my ego. Like I had my ego was out of control. I had no reason to think I was special in any way. Like my whole life, and all of a sudden, you win this stuff. So I think I was a bit of a mess. And then, you know, and so I had to knock her up to make sure I kept her, you know?
No, bro, sometimes, bro, low key, that's a real thing. Like, you find sometimes, I wasn't at that level. We talked about it, and then.
I mean, I didn't really intentionally knock her up, but that's what happened. And it was a great, amazing thing for me because, and for her, but I think I was probably hard to be with the first 5-6 years. Mm. And, but then all the therapy, you get better, you get wiser, you get more mature. And then all of a sudden, I think that I would be really.
What do you think your therapist bill is by now, lifetime?
We haven't done as much therapy the last 8 years.
Okay.
But you know, during the pandemic, you're stuck together quite a bit. And we keep sorting stuff out. We keep getting better.
Well, that's called a real fucking relationship. Missionary, is that the go-to move right now? Missionary?
Very boring.
Oh. I know, but still, like, missionaries.
Dude, I'm a fucking freak, dude.
I know you are.
I
know you are.
Yeah, you name it. It's
But don't you get, like, when you're with, like, and again, I very.
I'm fucking 52, and we're, like, fucking, like, sex fiends. Gary Breck had fucking this.
Oh, that's the other thing.
Changed my life.
He started working with Gary Breck. Yeah. You know who Gary Breck is?
No.
And is
Gary Breck the guy that's doing the health stuff?
Yeah.
Longevity stuff or the health stuff?
Yeah, all the health stuff,
10X. What is that? Explain though, Gary.
He was on what's his name podcast talking about it.
Yeah.
So do you believe in the Gary Breck mode?
Oh, I mean, 10X is unbelievable. What Gary come up with all this whole deal.
Can you give it to us in like one paragraph? What he represents, Gary?
Yes.
Blood test. Send it in. You're fucked.
So
that's what I
I'll do it in a real short sentence. So me and Dana White. Good friends of mine, 10 years.
That's right. I saw him on that podcast.
So about a year and a half, me and Dana was in a little bar called the Christmas Bar in New York. Hammered. Okay. And I noticed Dana started losing a lot of weight. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? He lost like 20 pounds. I thought something happened to him. I thought he was like sick. I gave him a call on the phone. This is actually prior to New York. I was like, dude, you're okay. He's like, I'm fucking fine. He says, I'll see you in New York in 2 weeks. You need to meet somebody. It's fine. So we went out the bar and all that stuff. 8 o'clock the next morning after me and Dana and my wife and all that, we're all shit-faced drunk.
That's what he was drinking. He's not drinking anymore, right?
He don't drink anymore. No, he's done now. This is over a year and a half ago whenever all this happened. This was like in November, year before last. And, somebody's knocking on my door at my hotel room at fucking the Claridge in New York. Like, who the fuck is this? He says, hey, I'm Gary Brecka, and this is my son, Cole Brecka. I'm like, okay. I said, Dana sent us here. full blood work, 8 o'clock in the morning. They did all the blood work. They got IVs in us and all this stuff. I feel like I'm in a fucking hospital. And did the gene test and all that stuff. Long story short, we did all that stuff there. 1 month later, I was on the program. And thank God, owe every bit of this to Dana.
He started Brekka, by the way. Right?
He did.
That's why Dana doesn't get enough credit. Like, Breck is killing it. I love Gary. But I have to say, I always give credit where credit. I don't talk. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I do.
Without fucking, Breck would be great, successful, whatever. Dana put him on a whole other fucking.
There's no doubt. But I mean,
I'm like an influencer with the
I owe everything to Dana because Dana's my buddy and friends of me and my wife. And
so what happened?
Probably as soon as we got on the program in November, it just probably 4 or 5 months into it, I'm down 40 pounds.
Wow.
Wife's down 40 pounds, 35, 40 pounds, something like that. And I've never missed a beat.
What's the testosterone stuff? That's one thing I've been interested in. So they test men that have low testosterone, is it energy?
Yeah, I mean, and my testosterone levels were definitely, they were low.
And they can tell that from blood?
Yeah. The blood work, the gene test and all that stuff, they do all that. So there's peptides involved, vitamins and things like that.
I do that once every 2 years. Yeah. You get like, I remember going to the
place. I do blood work every 3 months now. I do blood work now. So
I'm too scared.
For the
I'm
first year, you do
I'm
it.
Not looking at it. I'll just die. Yeah.
Well, you're young. You know, you're
young. I'm young, but I fucking, I'm
wild. I went to that spa that Oprah used to go to and they took 16 vials of blood. I'm like, what is this? Yeah.
But I don't take that much, but I mean, it's like five of them that for the full blood panel and all that stuff, but they test everything. I mean, this 10X program is just unbelievable.
I'm lucky. I
recommend it for everybody.
This AFib shit's not fun, but I have almost perfect health. So,
and I've put a ton of people on it, you know, through the 10X stuff with Gary and introduced him to.
So it's called 10X.
Yeah, 10X.
I've heard at the end of the day, he's charging a fuck ton now, right? Now that Dana put him on the map, he's fucking raking it in.
Yeah, I mean,
Dana fucking made Brekka. That's it, and that's the end of the story. I never fucking heard of Brekka, but I love Brekka. I met him the other day. He's a fucking good dude. He's always very smart, he's a doctor. Yeah. But I'm telling you, business 150,000x when Dana.
Yeah, I mean, I was with him. Like,
because now his prices go through the fucking roof.
I was with him last night.
I'll say that. I don't give a fuck.
You know, I mean, it can be expensive. Like I said, there's equipment you can buy, and of course, I've got all the equipment, and that's where the money is.
Yeah,
you can do it without the equipment if you do the regiment. And Gary explains every bit of that on his podcast and all that stuff. There's a lot of natural stuff that you can do. It's all what you know, if you got the money, you can spend it.
Well, what's the money?
You know,
how much are we talking?
If you do the full, like me and Dana's done.
I want the Rolls Royce. So I'm going into Gary Brekka's office. I'm a billionaire.
Give us the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
I want the Rolls Royce.
It's going to cost you $100,000. Just for the equipment. Yeah. No, not a year. The red light therapy, the cold plunge, oxygen therapy and all that kind of stuff, and then
they like the cold plunge.
Yeah,
my wife's been doing.
Well, let me tell you something. The cold plunge and
I don't know if I can $100,000 to pay for an ice cube in the bathtub. I don't know. Breakfast.
Well, you know, even in California, the pool gets real cold at night, so you can jump. We can jump in there.
Yeah. I'll tell you that. $9 for me.
Look, let me tell you something. The cold plunge. You know, it's crazy for somebody to say that they're addicted to cold plunge, just like Dana says. I will go get in that motherfucker right now. If there was one over in that room, I would.
There is. And there's two ladies in there with
the room. Okay. So that's been hard for me.
It's unfucking believable.
So that's been hard for me.
I do it every fucking day.
But you're saying, was it hard or easy for you to start?
No, it wasn't. You know, I'll be honest with you. Dana inspired me so much.
Yeah, but was it hard to get in that pool? That's my question.
You just get
a cold plunge?
I got hammered for it.
It was right at the very beginning.
Yeah, because that's where I am. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to get in a cold pool.
No, you have to like literally take a thing where you're like,
I love the cold plunge, but like I said, back to that.
It does do wonders though. Yeah. I fucking trust me. Like awesome. I'll speak on both sides. Like I'm lazy.
I've seen the evidence. I've seen the science from one of my guys.
It's like you do feel like it, and it doesn't instantaneous. It is a buildup. So if you do a couple days, like I'll do it.
It don't faze me at all anymore.
Every day.
Every fucking, well, of course I'm out of town, but like I said, when I travel all over the world, so
it's worth it.
I'll call them ahead of time. It's like, look, the hotel says I need ice in my bathtub. I mean, I was in St. Lucia just a few months back,
right?
And I was like, I want at 8 o'clock every morning, I want fucking five gallon buckets full of ice put in my tub at 8 o'clock every morning. And the guys were in there doing it. You know, and I do that all over the place.
White people problems, they call that. Yeah. White people problems.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Dana does that too. But But, you know, at the end of the day.
Go in for 5 seconds to start.
Yeah.
You just go in this. So what do? You go to your hotel. You're at the Aria?
Yeah.
Tonight what you do is this. Before you go to bed, you know what you do, Phil? You take fucking, you go to, you got a pillowcase. That's how the gangsters do it. We don't have the fucking butler service like he has. We got a fucking pillowcase. We go to the ice machine. We fill that shit up. Gangster style, turn on the bathtub, and we dump that fucking ice in there, and you just wait 10 minutes, and then you just
My
drop
wife
it.
Will be yeah. thrilled if I start doing look, this
Dude,
him.
You'll love look, it.
Thrilled.
It's fucking good. 5 seconds to start.
But if you don't do a cold plunge, I mean, I take a cold, if like tonight, I'll go back tonight. I'll do a cold shower. Just do a cold shower or whatever. Oh, it makes a huge difference.
I know,
I'm telling
but it's
you.
The cold plunge
That's how
thing is
addictive
better,
I am. But at the end of the day,
it's a good thing to be addicted
Dana,
to.
Dana
cold
inspired
plunge
inspired me on
the,
all
some
this
people
shit.
Are addicted to, yeah. Some people are addicted to cocaine.
Come say hello.
Some people are addicted to heroin. Some people, and you're addicted to cold plunge.
Oh, absolutely. Just like Dane is. Yeah,
this is one of the best poker players in the world. Yeah.
Wow,
number one in the world.
How you
my
doing?
Buddy Brandon. This is Kelsey. I don't know who she is, but she's staying here. And I just met her yesterday, but she's a great girl.
Me.
I love it. So you're good. They're like, we give up at this point. Yeah. So it is what it is. What's the next that thing? What is a hat, by the way? What is karate combat?
The karate combat. Yeah, that's
I'll fight
right.
anybody.
I'll
fight anybody you want.
Okay.
Matter of fact,
it.
Phil, for coming on this fucking show, listen to me. You know what's funny? You know what? As a favor, because I'm a respectful man, for fucking coming on my show, I will fight anybody you want on karate combat. And I'll say that right to the camera.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say this. Okay. So karate combat's. First of all, we had 10 million people watch our last fight, which is pretty cool. We're second in viewership behind UFC only. I don't know if you know that. It's pretty cool.
What did you say, UFC?
And the brand, you ask the fighters about it, you ask, they all love karate combat. The only difference is there's no wrestling. So I wasn't a hugest fan of the wrestling anyway. So it's all karate, which is kind of cool.
You wear gloves?
Now, yes, but they wear the small gloves, very small gloves. So the question is, would you do a celebrity fight, an influencer / celebrity fight? Because I know you have a fighting background.
Let me know.
And, all right, so you do this for karate combat, and who would you do it with? Who would you choose?
Kyle.
Nelk Kyle Boys. Who?
The founder of the Nelk Boys, Kyle, the partner I just sued. I would do it because I love Kyle to death, and I love him to death, but we're now partners again.
Yeah.
But I just want to put him back in his place and let him know he can't fuck with the Godfather.
All right, there's one challenge. Who's your next one?
I mean, I talked to Bryce Hall yesterday. I mean, Bryce, obviously, what I had
Bryce
respect for.
Fucking
Bryce
kill
did,
you.
Bryce just.
Bryce
bro,
would kill you,
bro,
dude.
Bro, you don't even understand. Like, you don't get it where I
Wait,
come
Bryce
from.
Is,
Bryce is my buddy.
How old is Bryce?
I love Bryce.
Bryce is my buddy.
Bryce is my fucking boy.
I know.
But I'll still throw hands.
Bryce is
you
on
know
my
what?
Speed dial, too, by the way.
I love that. I'll fight him tomorrow. I love Bryce.
But at the end of the day, I will beat both of you motherfuckers at the same time.
Yeah, because you on that breakfast shit, whatever it is, the fucking cheating-ass diet, whatever it is, 100 million you know, like it is. We're all
I mean,
scrapping.
Like, go do a close-up on those guns, man.
All right, Phil, so here's the deal. If you arrange on karate combat, if you know, I know you have partners, you figure out your own thing, I don't want to get too deep into it. You figure out that, we'll come on karate combat, I'll fight anybody you want for free.
I will tell you this,
that'd be fun.
Anybody you want.
So I got involved with karate combat. One thing I told them would be fun is that right before their main event, I'm going to come on. It sounds weird. Yeah. And I'll shoot 10 free throws live. And people can bet whatever they want.
You're
making
three.
And all the betting sites. So boom. No, I'm going to make five. But it could be four, but it could be six. You can bet on all 10, or you can bet on each free throw individually. And so I was talking about doing a show on one of the big networks where every night at midnight I come on live
Love
for
that.
3 weeks and I shoot 10 free throws. But they're trying to get their app full where people can bet on it, right? So
you have a
I
casino deal? You have a casino deal yet? You have a gambling deal yet or no? Are you exclusive? Can you do whatever the fuck you want in the gambling space or no?
Well, first of all, I'm with Ari as far as
that.
Some stuff.
I get that.
Yes.
Are you open to the gambling space? Digitally?
I'm about to sign a big contract.
All right, great. So, listen, you haven't signed it yet.
A big
so
poker
you
contract.
You want to talk to us at Monkey Tilt? You can talk to us. That's
Monkey
it.
Tilt, you know Prize Picks.
We're coming in for blood against Prize Picks. That's what I'll say. I will take Prize Picks down. I admit.
And, so I'm an official advisor for Prize Picks.
I love that. Well, we're coming for blood then, Phil.
I mean, that's great. You know, you and I. But you know, it turns out we're on
but
the
we
same
can also,
team.
Both our deals are not really done yet, so we can figure it out. You know what I mean?
No, I signed an advisor deal with them in 2020.
So
I
you are exclusive in the category. So why waste my time and even say
no?
Your
I'm not exclusive in that category. Oh, I'm talking to somebody else now.
Okay, all right. Well, there we go. All right.
We got a lot of categories. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of categories.
Here.
A lot of categories.
Right.
Right,
you
now,
you want to play heads up within a month for something? What do you want to play for?
You'd have to tell me a number. I'm probably comfortable with almost every number.
Can I play for your Richard Milley? Like, maybe, do you think I can beat him heads up?
I don't know. Think so?
Honestly, I really do. I think I could beat him, but I think I want it in a computer setting. I want it not heads up. I want him like in a screen with a divider. And then I also just want
to. Are we talking about poker or are we talking about something else now?
Poker. Uh-huh. Our OnlyFans talk.
I want to stream something, but I want to play you heads up online. By the way, this is a guy that was multi-tabling nine tables, yes, which means he's playing nine screens at once for years. Mm-hmm. So he has skills. I would never underestimate him.
I played against Isaac and all those guys the other
but
day.
But I am Phil Hellmuth.
Which I am a huge dog here. So
I'm pretty good at the poker. Specifically, I played a bunch of heads up matches. In 2020, there was nothing else going on. Remember that? There was nothing to watch.
No.
So I played a heads up match against Antonio Esfandiari, the magician.
Oh, man. Tell me about
that. And he came in and he started talking shit. Oh, I'm an 80% favorite, blah, 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 blah. Dusted him the first match for $100,000. I challenged or came back for the second match for $200,000. Came in and I said, how big a favorite are you this time? Ooh. Oh, I'm 65% favorite. Dusted him. Came back for the third match, and I said, how big a favorite are you? Now we played for 400,000. And he said, I'm 60% favorite. And I just thought to myself, in poker history, when it comes to playing, like, there's a reason I have 14 world championships in Texas Hold'em. It's my game, man.
That's the Tiger
no one's even close to that. No one's even close to that.
That's a Tiger. Nobody's close to 14
fucking. And this is tournaments. He's playing me
this
in
is
a
the best
tournament.
Poker player of the world.
Really?
So yes, I beat him the third one.
Yeah.
Then they gave me a belt. And then I had to win three more for another belt. And then the last one I played for $1.6 million. I did lose. That one hurt. So
that
I think
was
I finished
one game?
I think I finished 10-2 in the matches, but against the world's best players.
If internet was alive today and back in full effect, what games would you be playing and why?
You know, I think I'd be playing some of the mixed games. You know, I wouldn't be playing as much Hold'em. I'd be playing these games like PLO. Omaha 8 or better, Pot Limit Omaha. These games that half the audience knows exist.
Yeah,
you know, seven card stud high low, seven card stud low.
All the sharks are now going to like PLO and fucking hammering guys there, right?
A lot of sharks are playing PLO. It's a very, we like to call it a high variance game. So you can play great and you can lose. You can play great, you can lose. You're playing No Limit Texas Hold'em, you play great. You don't lose 10 times in a row.
And the reasoning, I think, is because the math is, if it's, right? I this is my guess. If
just
you're playing
luck.
PLO, there's more cards, there's more things, so smarter guys win because there's more variables.
You don't have to necessarily be smart. There's people in poker that you like that have third grade educations. Like Puggy Pearson was a Hall of Famer. Is
Who
a Hall
the
of
fuck
Famer.
Is Puggy Pearson?
Yeah, exactly. He died in 03. But he was, you know, you have people that just have card sense, world class card sense. It doesn't mean that they're super intelligent.
Are you somebody who's super intelligent?
You tell me. I think my intelligence is pretty high. My EQ. Listen, there's IQ and there's EQ. EQ, my EQ is off the charts. My EQ is off the charts, so I can tell when people are bluffing.
Oh, brother, you will not beat me ever in fucking. If we play best out of five, you will not beat me in a fucking best of five game. If we play serious man-to-man, I actually strap my fucking thing on. I take an Adderall.
Mano-y-mano.
Mano-fucking-y-mano, buddy. I'll tell you this. I'll play you for fucking.
You better be Adderalled up, baby.
No, I'm telling you what. I will not fuck around, Phil. I will play
I know you won't.
I will set this game up. After this thing is done, I want to set you up. I want to play you in a game. And
we could play for 10,000. We could play for 20. We could play on a. There's a club in Houston that I own that I'm going to go film at this weekend. We could play down.
Yeah,
in Houston.
But I want something that'll make us both sweat. What makes you sweat?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question.
I know. I ask good questions. I do this for a living.
I think it's interesting. My sweating point is lower than a lot of guys because I'm conservative, right? So they used to make fun of me for not risking a lot of money, right? All the guys that made fun of me for not, they're all broke. Mm-hmm. And I've just gone like this, right? And so I think I played a $100,000 buy-in tournament where I risked my own money two or three times last year. Mm-hmm. That felt a little like, to me, it felt a little sweaty, even though I'm worth this much. It's interesting. You talk about people's sweat points. You can have people that are worth $5 billion, like, $1 billion that have a real trouble like playing poker for $5,000. Yeah,
$100.
Yeah, even 100.
Chris from Rumble. They Chris from Rumble. Fucking billionaire. Rumble, great company, by the way. Amazing. Love Rumble. Fucking Hey, he had fucking $500. I'm like, Chris, you're a billionaire. He's worried about $500 back. He's like, sweating. I don't know. He's like, look at his sweating. We're $500. I'm like, you're worth $1 billion.
Look, I feel it. I'm not no fucking billionaire, but I've got a lot of money. But whenever like, I gamble too, well,
if
it's
you're
the same
if you're
thing.
Playing blackjack, how much per hand are you betting?
100 to 500.
Right, and if you start betting 2,000 a hand, even let's say you're worth 50 million.
I'll get up to that.
Let's say you're worth 50, 100 million, and you start betting like 3, 4, 5,000 a hand, you're like, that's more than you want
to bet. I get nervous. There's no doubt. And I've done it a million times. But yeah, that's whatever.
I've done it a million times. Yeah.
No, you know who does it well is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan will walk in.
I get fucking
in.
Nervous. Yeah.
Michael Jordan will walk in.
I'd love to see Michael
Jordan. I'll be doing
books.
It tonight.
He'll walk into a country club, wherever he is, and he'll say, what makes you sweat? You know, and someone of 2,000 a hole. And I'll say, I'll play you for 2,000 a hole. And that's what Michael does. But he doesn't high roll people, which I like. He doesn't come
in
and
say. That's
what
I love, too. You play according to the game.
What's he worth, $4 billion now?
You can't big dick somebody. Try to be the man. It's everybody, it's situational.
You don't high roll people. Like, never. I don't believe I've ever high rolled anybody in my life. I just think it's classless. Yeah. You know. Nice.
So I got $30 in my drawer. We'll play a best out of five. You know, like 4 hours. You know,
that's why I would never.
So how long have you been doing this?
That's why I suggested as cheap as 10K.
I would
play you for 5K. Yeah. I would play you for 2K.
No, I'd want to play you for at least.
And that would be fun. Really. That actually be fun. And I would like to get because I don't know how to fuck.
Oh no, he's already.
If you bat my game, I'll play.
He's already said no.
No, you have to bat my game though. I'm not. You can keep.
We will. We will go downstairs and we'll do something. How long have you been doing this shit? How many years?
I've been a professional poker player since 1987.
Oh, okay. No. So a long time.
Earlier than that, excuse me. I've been a pro since 1985.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I was 20 years old when I started playing. I was like 21, 22 when I decided to become a professional.
Yeah.
My dad hated it. My dad has a PhD. He has a JD as an MBA. Dad, I'm going to become a professional poker player. What the? He was ready to kill me.
Really?
Disown me. And I'm the oldest of five. So, and I'm a, you know, so all the pressure was on me to get degrees, and he hated it. But he came to support me when I won the main event in 1989. I was 24. I said, I'm going to win the main event. It was equivalent to about $10 million. It was $755,089 is maybe $5 or $10 million now.
Wow.
And he came out to watch me, and I won it. And this company no one had ever heard of called ESPN but back then ESPN was like, wow. Chris Berman and two others.
Shit. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're going to want to stop this interview. You guys look cute. Look at this, huh?
Stop the show.
Check that out. Stop the show. My bad. I'm sorry. There you are. Sorry. Hey, grab me one more tequila. Cranberry. We're going to do 10 more minutes. Go ahead.
So since I was 89, right? So what happened after that? If you just been a full-time poker player?
Well, in 89, when I won the main event, I was already pretty conservative for a 24-year-old. And so I bought a penthouse condominium for about $180,000, which was just this beautiful penthouse condom in Madison, Wisconsin, right on the lake. And I bought a brand-new Cadillac, which is a super conservative car. And then I paid my taxes, and then with the remaining cash, I went very low on cash. And I think that's a very normal thing for people to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then I was always great at poker. Then I'd make it back. But meanwhile, I was living in this fabulous place.
Paid for cash. Yeah, that's good. So you just went up from 89 all the way to now.
I won three world championships in 1993, and that kind of put me on the map as someone going for the all-time record. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to become the all-time, you know. I had already decided in 1988 that I was going to become the greatest poker player of all time. It was already a written goal. You will become the greatest poker player of all time. The only way you can do it is by winning world championships, so I just started winning them. So I've been kind of dialed into... That's been my life, is winning world championships. Now the series, back then it was 10 days.
Yeah.
Now it's 2 months. So now, May 26th, I'll fly to Vegas, and I won't leave. And if someone says, I'll give you $100,000 to fly to California, I'll say no. Yeah. Even though that's double my daily rate. If they say $200,000, I'll say no, because I'm just focused on making history.
Yeah.
Becoming the greatest of all time. So I have 17 world championships.
Who's next? Who's got the most?
Phil Ivey has 10.
What do you have?
Eric Seidel and Johnny Chan.
You have the most?
Are right there. I have 17, yeah.
So you're the most? You have 17 and they have 10?
Yeah.
Dude, see, I know how to get people in the room. Yeah. I know how to get the best in the room.
Fuck it.
You know? That's what I do.
I just kept winning. Yeah.
You just kept
fucking congratulations.
Congratulations, Phil.
Yeah, but yeah. But there's miles. Awesome. Like this very famous poem.
Yeah.
I have miles to go before I sleep. And I think, you know, that's why I'm good with the founders of companies. I always tell them, like, you know, I always tell these young founders, they need a cheerleader. They need a spark plug.
Yeah.
And that's something I didn't realize. What's my power? Why do they keep coming to me and signing me up? Okay, fine, network. I can raise a lot of money for them. I know all the VCs, and I can see the strategies. But I think I'm a good kind of like...
He's undoubtedly, and I'll give you props here, and this is a compliment, he is undoubtedly the Tiger Woods in poker.
So it sounds like it. That's the best way to
describe it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's like you look at it that way as like...
Speaking of Tiger, I'm hosting his event May 30th right here at the Aria.
No way.
Yeah. It'll be like the 10th year in a row I've hosted it.
Really?
Charity poker night. Yeah.
Does he play? Cool.
He's gotten much better. 10 years ago, he wasn't very good. But
have you met Tiger?
Yeah, I host his event, bro. We play blackjack.
I'm trying to set up podcast clips here, all right? Have you met Tiger? No, just kidding. You met Tiger, though, before?
You want some of my funny
stories? I want some Tiger stories.
Here's my favorite Tiger story, but it's more about me, so I apologize.
Go ahead. That's fine. It's your show, so you're good.
So it was 2021 and 2022, and I wanted to give my 16th world championship bracelet to a guy named Sky Dayton. Sky Dayton started Boingo, Earthlink, all these companies, but he's just an amazing human being. And I have a list of who I'm giving my bracelets to, all family, and now my friends. And so it was harder to travel then for whatever reason. And people weren't traveling quite as much. And I said, hey, I'm going to go and deliver this bracelet to you. So I brought my 16th world championship bracelet, flew to LA. And at the last minute, they changed dinner reservations to Nobu in Malibu. We were going next door to the place next door. So now it's Nobu, Malibu. And I'm with, you know, one of my friends started this big rideshare company. We've got like David Sachs was with us. Two guys I'm not allowed to even say their names.
That's fine.
And so we sit down and the waves are crashing, you know, and we're just laughing and it's the whole thing is meant to just be fun.
Majestic.
Yeah. It was really incredible. And the energy's great, you know, and they start joking. They're like, cause I dropped the word billionaire too often. They're like billionaire, billionaire, billionaire. That's how their way of making fun of me. You know, every billionaire in this place. And I'm like, I probably do. And we're laughing back and forth. Billionaire, billionaire. Everybody's laughing, joking, just great. And I think I was sitting with four billionaires and then I get tapped on the shoulder. It's Tiger Woods. What the fuck?
Shit.
So I'm like, oh my God. So, you know, for this one, you know, I mean, I jump up. Tiger, great to see you. And an idea flashes in my mind. Tiger has 16 majors. 15 majors. I just won my 16th. And I host his event for him every year, and every year we battle back and forth on the mic. I'm going to fucking slay him. I didn't ask him about his health. I'm going to slay him. I said, Sky, give me the 16th bracelet. And I already have the script written in my mind. I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to say, this is what it's like to have 16, bitch, to Tiger. That's what I'm going to say. And he's going to love it because Tiger and MJ, they just want to be teased.
Like, yeah,
no, we don't want praise.
It's an ego stroke.
My next story is the MJ story in Miami.
I want all of it. I want all of it.
But okay, so this one, so I pull the bracelet out and I open it up and I'm about to say something. And Tiger says, Phil, that's your 16th world championship bracelet. I knew you could do it. I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, I can't do anything about that. I'm stuck.
He cut me off, you know?
That's a smart play by him.
And yeah. I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, hey, thanks, Tiger. I really appreciate it. My friends had been teasing me about billionaire, billionaire, billionaire. Tiger left, and I'm like, billionaire motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And they're all laughing.
Yeah, that's fucking
but
great.
So then I hosted his event 2 months later. He walks into the room, and he walks right up to me, and he hits me on the side, and he's like, you're going to tease me about 16 versus 15 all night. And I said, that's fucking right. Let's go to our first interview. And it went over. We did an interview.
It was his only play, though.
Then we did an interview on my phone. And I'm like, okay, that's enough.
That's awesome.
And I got up and they asked me to speak. And I'm like, Tiger. And so just teasing him because, and that's what he loves. You know, we want to go back and forth, have some fun. So I'll cut to the MJ story, or you want
that's
that
a great, it's just a great story, but it is a good play by Tiger, I will say, because when you are defeated,
great play,
and you're there, you have to kind of like play the game and like being like the gentleman.
Okay, all right, I'm gonna weave two more stories, and then I'm gonna stop.
Brother, I will shoot for 10 hours. I don't give a fuck.
So here's the other fun one. I'm at the Formula One race.
Okay,
and we're in the whatever. I'm supposed to be in the pit. Because I'm supposed to sign a contract with a company, it didn't work out. So we're still in this VIP section, and there's Phelpsy, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fucking fun. Mike's here, his wife is here. I went and spent a weekend, stayed at his house
before the
Olympics.
One of the greatest guys ever.
In 2016, I went to his house because I wanted to go to Brazil to the Olympics, but I wanted to spend time with him before I went. Anyway, so I'm like, Mike. I said, I'm gonna do an interview. I'm gonna interview you, but I just want you to know that you have 23 golds, and I'm gonna pass you. I'm gonna get to 24.
You went to a different than Tiger. You went against that the Tiger
gets
method.
Now that gets the hackles up with him, you know, and he's like, turn the fucking video on, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, this is gonna be great.
Yeah.
And this video, you can see it on my. You go back to like Formula One, which is November. It's a great video.
Where do we see that? You don't have social media, do you?
Yeah.
You have all everything.
Phil_Helmuth is Twitter.
Phil,
yeah.
Why the fuck aren't you buying Phil Helmuth? Who owns that?
They offered it to me because the Twitter people early in the
day. Yeah, they grabbed it. I hate those fucking people.
And I'm like, you know what?
You're a fucking loser.
I'm just going to stay with this.
I don't care. You're a loser. Like people that have like fucking imagine somebody grabbing like BobHarry.com and being like, I'm going to hold it over your head. Fuck you.
So I hold the camera up to Mike and I start and I'm like, and he's like, this guy's talking shit. And I'm like, Mike, you have 23, you know, gold medals, but I'm going to pass you. And he's like, and I turn the camera back to him and he's like, Phil, he looks right into the camera. This is so great. He's like, Phil, how many tournaments do you play per year that you can win a world championship?
Oh,
shit. I'm like 30 per year. He's like, I race 30 races in my life.
Yeah, he's got you.
I have 23 gold medals.
He's got you.
And I'm like, and I went back to me and I said, fuck. Yeah. What can I say? He's got me.
Yeah.
He's got Tiger beat me. He beat me.
Poker is a sport, though. That's the thing.
So then I recovered and I said, but I'm going to get to 24. I'm going to pass you. And then I cut back to him and he starts singing, All I Do Is Win. All I Do Is Win.
You've been on a long time. I'm not going to let Phil help you without the hook anymore. Fucking, this has been too long of a drought. When's the fucking next one coming?
What do you mean? I won one in July, the last World Championships.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right. When's the next one coming?
Well, I mean, I have a chance starting May 30th.
How many games are there? How many tournaments?
Fuck, there's like 88, but the fields are huge now.
Yeah,
it's not the same since you. You want my last story? It feels like I'm doing all the talking, all
brother,
the bragging.
That's what we want, brother. All right,
one more.
That's what you understand. I do this for a living. I know what I'm doing. I'd be already leaving if I fucking thought it was.
This is the MJ story.
Go.
I like this one. So we're in Miami, and I'm hosting A-Rod's charity poker tournament. The place is just filled with, you know, there's a yacht there. It's just filled with the biggest celebrities in the world. They're all there. And it felt like to me. And this is like 08, 07, something like that. And so after the event, A-Rod's like, thank you, Phil. When I say host, I have the microphone all night. I make fun of all the celebrities. I'm making fun of Jay-Z, you know, and Jay-Z. And I told Jay earlier, I said, hey, I'm going to make fun of you tonight. An hour passes, and he comes up to me and he says, when are you going to make fun of me? Everybody likes a little attention. They want to be made fun of. So
Phil's a low-key gangster, by the way.
And I was singing to Jay-Z. I'm like, I'm in Boeing jets, Global Express up the... Oh, shit, I'm a little bit off rhythm day. Up the country with the booberry still connects on the low on a yacht. Got a triple deck, but I'm young. What the beep do you expect? Grand opening, Greg. But anyway, I'm out of practice.
You didn't drop the end bomb around him, right? No dropping the inbox.
Just had fun. But anyway, so now afterwards we go to this club, and I'm sure you've heard of it, Mansion. Mansions, whatever it's called.
MGM?
It's called Mansion. Yeah, Mansion it was the hottest club in Miami for like 15 years.
Miami.
I'm like, hey, A-Rod.
It's old school. Yeah.
So Alex, that's I'm going school, there. Yeah. He's like, I'll meet you there.
You're nice at Mansion?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's back like in 2010, actually.
That's old school, big place. Yeah. So anyway, we go over there. I open the door. this A-Rod had me in a car, and I get out of the car, and the people, you know, a lot of my people are the people that work late at night, the bouncers from Poker After Dark. And they say, "Hey, Phil." Great, they know me. "It's great to see you. MJ's in the back." I'm like, okay, there's only one MJ. "We're going to walk you back to his booth right away." Boom, 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 all the way back to the booth. And now MJ's on my right. There's me, Holyfield's in the booth. Like, all these big celebrities are there. And I text A-Rod. I'm with MJ now. And A-Rod texts me back.
You've been replaced.
A-Rod texts me back. He's like, "God damn it. MJ told me it was 99% to show up to this charity poker tournament of mine. Yeah. I guess the 1% hit." I said, "Whatever. We're here. Come on over." Yeah. And so now I'm sitting, and MJ is...
You got to be uncomfortable, right?
So I say to him, "What?"
You got to be uncomfortable in that situation. When you roll up some brothers and shit, and like, I'm guessing there was gangster rap playing, or was there like a...
Oh, no, no. I first of all, I love rap.
I love rap.
Second of all, I'm super comfortable with MJ and Tiger. Yeah.
But you got to go in there. It's MJ and fucking the biggest people in the world. Are you not somebody who... You know,
but
you're
MJ
big.
Had told me 3 years before he's a huge fan of mine.
Perfect. Then you're in.
So yeah. I'm in. It's the same thing with Jay-Z. Jay-Z told me he's a big fan of mine.
Yeah.
So when they tell you that, you're like, okay.
You're in.
Yeah. You're just in. Because like now it's like, okay. But yeah, maybe I would have been uncomfortable if they don't know who I am.
I'm just saying I wouldn't know how to react there. So I'm saying, I don't know how that shit works.
So MJ's dancing, I'm dancing, which is my line, only alpha males dance. Yeah. I've been using that line. And he's dancing, I'm dancing. And I look at him and I said, "You're the greatest basket." He puts his hand up. And this is the interesting, this is the whole point of the story, is how I hate praise. He hates praise. We all hate praise.
We do.
We kind of crave praise until you get it. And then it makes you cocky and you fall out of your lane. Everybody falls out of their lane. Celebrities, actors, everybody falls out of their lane. Maybe an actor doesn't fall out of their lane because they're still great at acting in that moment. But athletes,
Roadhouse,
they become lazy. They lose their process. And so he instinctively, he doesn't want praise from me, who he really likes and respects. And so I said, "Oh no, let me finish." And he's like, "Okay, this is going to be good now."
MJ, was he smoking a cigar?
He actually did have a cigar.
Bro, MJ must have gotten so much. Like, you think about that; those guys get pussy like crazy. Not to be, you know.
So this is my last line. This will end it. And I look over at MJ and I say, "MJ, you were the greatest basketball player in history." I said, "But you have 6 world championships, and I have 9." And he just starts laughing. That's a high five.
Wait, say that again one more time. Say what you just said.
At this point,
no, I want to know exactly what you just said. MJ, say that again.
I said to MJ, I said,
"Look at the camera, you said."
I said, "MJ, you are the greatest basketball player of all time. But you have 6 world championships. I have 9.
End of the interview.
Now he starts busting out laughing. Now we get a high five.
That's it. I love you.
That's it.
That was awesome.
That's it.
All right, guys.
Yo, this is Bob Benner here with a quick message to remind everybody to gamble responsibly. Gambling will not make you rich, does not guarantee you Lambos are pussy. 99% of you are going to lose. Fuck, maybe more. I didn't consult with the fucking statistic nerds before I made this video. Play for fun, play a responsible amount, don't gamble your mortgage, don't tell your wife and kids no presents this year because I blew it all on fucking LeBron James to score over 25 points. It's not good, and it's not good for your marriage either. Don't be that fucking guy that to blow Dana White in a fucking public podcast for 30 minutes. And I'll tell you what, I've been there, and it is not fucking fun. End of the day, gamble for fun, gamble responsibly, and if you need help, please go to any of our resources below for further assistance. And I'm actually going to be hopping on that site right now. So take care.